after the tax collector that these are my children. These are not my servants. Therefore, I don't have to pay tax. So the Mishnah says that if he swears, he'll swear that these are my children, and if I'm telling a lie, I should be forbidden from eating ice cream. I should be forbidden from eating bread. Let's say bread. Everybody eats bread. He says, he swears that these is, he takes a shvua, if I'm not telling the truth, that these are my children and not my servants, and I don't have to pay tax, I take a shvua, I'm not going to eat bread. And then he goes ahead and eats bread in front of them. So that shows that he's telling the truth. He took the shvua. In his mind, he had in mind, I'm not going to eat bread for 1 minute. So usually, dvarm shabalev ain't a dvarm. So here the Mishnah says, since you're doing it in order to avoid paying taxes, and it's permissible to avoid paying taxes, so therefore you say, dvarm shablev, how dvarm is such a case? So the Gemara says, since when is it permissible to avoid taxes? Gemara says, either it's talking about a muchas haimid be'elov, a tax collector who's not authorized by the government. He's a gangster, a mafia man. He stands on the highway, and he goes around, and he says, if you don't pay me money, protection money, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to steal your property. So that's not legitimate. That's not mitam dina d'machusa. Or even if he is appointed by the government to collect legitimate taxes, he's collecting way more than he's supposed to. He has a right to collect a little more because he pays all the money. The government, the king, used to sell a right to collect the taxes to an individual who would pay him up front all the money. And then that individual had to go schlep all the money and send out bills and keep records who paid and who didn't pay. So he had a right to charge a little bit extra because of the work that he's done, the bookkeeping work, and he laid out the money in advance. But if he charges 10 times as much, so then it's he's a gazla, then he has no right to. So that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. The Gemara is talking about gaboim. I'm not talking about gaboim in the shul who give out all this. I'm talking about the gaboim. Ligvos means to collect. Gaboim is one who's collecting the taxes, or the muchsim, the ones who collect the taxes, and they're collecting more taxes than they're entitled to. So then they're gazlanim.
Why do we assume that Parshas HaMelech also was talking about a Gaish king?
These are legitimate rights of any king. Yeah. Shmuel HaMelech, Shmuel HaNavi, he's saying the legitimate rights of any king. I don't know. That's how Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who says Din in the Mochus Adin. Shmuel is the one who says Kalam and Parshas Melech Melech Mutabo. So the Vilna Gaon says that Shmuel is Shitasai. So that's a Chiddush that Rav who says Kalam and Parshas Melech Melech Asabo, Rav would say there's no Din in the Mochus Adin, that the king is not entitled to collect taxes. Well, according to Shmuel, that's a Chiddush. The Meiri has that Chiddush and the Bir Agro writes that Chiddush on his own. Yeah. I don't know. They assume that when Shmuel is formulating the Parsa Melech, it's any legitimate Melech in a country. If he's accepted as the Melech, so he's entitled to collect taxes and drift to have an army and so on.
According to the Rishonim, we understand that Hefker Bezdin Hefker works. We didn't Parsa Melech, but we say Hefker Bezdin Hefker applies even to a non-Jewish king?
Yes. The government, whenever it's litzorech, whenever there's a legitimate tzorech, the government has a right to declare something as hefker if they want to penalize someone, or it's litzorech hamedina. Yeah, the government has a right to confiscate my home. They want to make a highway. So they have a right to confiscate my home. They have to reimburse me, the Rambam says. The government has a right to take away my home, and then they have to reimburse me, legitimate. Today, even if one were to assume like that Ran and Adorim, that Dina the Machus of Dina never applied in Eretz Yisrael, the taxes for sure do apply. It's a different kind of taxes. Taxes today are not in order to enrich the king. It's not to make the Rosh HaMemshalah rich. The Rosh HaMemshalah is going to prison, I think. The former Rosh HaMemshalah, huh?
He made himself rich.
The role of the taxes today is not to enrich the king. The role of the taxes is that every country, every government offers services. So let's say in America, so some services are offered by the municipality, some are offered by the state government, and some are offered by the federal government. So the mail delivery is done by the federal government, and we need an army to protect us. So the army is a federal government sponsors that. Then you have forests, then you have state highways. Then you have a fire department, you have a water department, water purification. You have schools, public schools. Most of the people need public schools. The religious Jews don't use the public schools. We're a miut. The majority needs public schools, so even the minority has to pay also for whatever the majority votes, so then everybody has to go along. I can't say, I don't need the museums, I don't want to give that share. 5% of my taxes goes to sponsor the museum, and 5% goes to sponsoring forests. I don't climb, I don't go mountain climbing, I don't need the forest, I don't know how to drive, and I don't need the highways. I don't want to pay 25% of the taxes. Whatever the Rav decides that they need. So the miyut has to go along. So that today, the taxes are not to enrich the king. It's not good. The Rambam writes, whoever doesn't pay taxes, gozel minas ha-melech. He's stealing the portion of the melech, what the melech is entitled to. Today, the theory behind the taxes is not at all to enrich the king. It's that the Gemara has a din, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. All the people who live in a community have a din of shutfim with respect to all of the needs that they share in common. Let's say the people in the community need a mikveh, they need a shul, they need a yeshiva. So even those who don't have any children, all the Jewish people who live, someone is sick, he's homebound, he can't go to shul. But the rav of the Jews in the community need a shul, and they need he's not married, he doesn't need a mikveh. But most of the people do need a mikveh, so the miyut have to go along with the rav. So whatever all the people need, most of the people need mail delivery, most of the people need public schools and so on. So whatever, with respect to all of the needs that we share in common, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that people have a din of shutfim. So let's say you have five people decide they're going to become shutfim, they open a shoe store, and they're selling shoes, and they're making so much profit. And then they had a meeting at the end of the year, and they decide, instead of everybody taking their share of the profit, everybody should give back all the profit, or give back half of the profit that they earned this year, and they should, with the extra money that they earned, they should open up a branch in Paris and another branch in London, because they're doing so well to make more money. And one guy says, I don't want to give back the money. I don't need another branch. I want to stay the way it is. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Tosefta in Baba Basra, it says, you go Basra Raif. You go bus the rov of the shareholders, and the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bira Grua, how does the Tosefta know that you go bus the rov? So he says, a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, achir rab lahatas. Pasuk is talking about a split vote in a bezli. So the Vilna Gaon says, included is if you have shares in a shutfis. The rov and the shutfim want to go in one direction, and Neil wants to go in the other direction, so you go bus the rov. If the guy's not happy that he's not getting more profit, let him sell his shares to one of the other four partners, or to a stranger. And the other stranger will go basarayim. So the din is that whatever people are shutfim, they agree to go along with whatever the rov of the shutfim will want. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, not only if we agree to enter into a partnership, midas, I was born in this city. I was born in America. It's not that I moved to America knowing that I'm going to join up with the shutfim. I was born in this city. So still, the fact that you live in the city, it says, makes you into a shutfim. So in Chosh HaMishpat, there's a simon, Hilchos Shluchim Shutfim. That's why they have the din, that the people who live in the city have to chip in to pay for a shul, and to pay for an Erev, and to pay for a Lechi, or a Korah, whatever you need. Some people don't want to carry on Shabbos, but most of the people do want to carry on Shabbos, and it's feasible, Api Halacha, to make an Erev, even the Miut, and we have to chip in to pay their share, to make the Erev. So that's based on the din of Shutfim, that all the people that live in a community, so there are three communities. There's a federal community, there's a state community, there's a municipal community. So today, the paying of the taxes, you have to pay the Rosh HaMemshalah also. You have to pay a senator, you have to pay the president of the United States. He's not overpaid. If we're not happy, if we think he's not doing a good job, we should impeach him. We shouldn't vote him in again. We should lower his salary. Okay, we're the ones, we all vote all this, we all vote representatives, and representatives vote, they should give him an increase. Okay, but he's not getting rich on our money. We voted him in as the president, and we have representatives who voted that he should get this salary. So that's all based on the din of shutfim. So if a person doesn't pay tax today, it's not like the Rambam writes that he's gozel menas ha-melech, he's stealing from the king, and it's a shail of gezel akum. He's stealing from all the other shutfim. He's stealing from me. He's stealing from the idiots who do pay tax. The people who are paying tax, I pay three times as much tax as I should because so many other people are not paying tax. So they're stealing from me, not stealing from the menas ha-melech. So today, even in Eretz Yisrael, whenever you have a democratic country, more or less democratic country, and the government supplies, gives services. They give army protection and mail delivery and water purification and a fire department, etc., etc., and public education. So the taxes go to pay for all of the needs. So it's really a din of shutfim, so the shutfim are mechuyev. And whoever doesn't pay tax, even in Eretz Yisrael, has nothing to do with the whole debate between the Iran. That's an ancient story years ago when the government didn't give any services. But Bezman is there, but the government, the money for the taxes goes to pay the budget. So of course you have to pay taxes. That's a din midin shutfim.
What if a person lives in a malchus rishayim? Like he lives in Saudi Arabia, so you know some of his tax money is going to go to like terrorists or something. But he gets services, he gets the roads, he gets the fire department.
So the Rishonim have an expression that Dina de Malchusa, Dina Chamsa Nusa de Malchusa, or Gazla Nusa de Malchusa is not Dina. Let's say they used to say it under the communist government. Communist government would confiscate property, give it to someone else. It was very unfair. Everything was arbitrary. So they used to say that you can't say, see, the Mishnah says in the end of Bava Kamma, let's say for the purpose of taxes, the government took away my behemoth and then they gave it to someone else. Because he paid taxes, he overpaid, so they had to give him a refund. So they gave him my behemoth, gave him my automobile. So the Mishnah says it's all legitimate, because the government has a right to take to confiscate my property as a payment for the taxes. So then the Rishonim say that this expression, Dina de Malchus, Dina is only if the taxes are fair. If it's unfair, it's called Chamsanusa de Malchus, or Gazmanusa de Malchus. So they said under the communists, if the communist government gives you someone else's home, you're not allowed to live in that home because everything that they did was unfair. Everything was Gazlanusa. So if you have a government, let's say the United States government, so the people who claim, there are rabbis who claim, Talmid Chachamim who claim, that you don't have to pay tax in America because the American government supports the Arabs. If I would be an American government, I would also support the Arabs. Israel doesn't export oil. The Arabs export oil. The United States needs oil. So look, yeah. You're not mechuyev. The American government is not mechuyev to be mois and nefesh for the Jews. It's a Christian country. They want to support the Arabs because it's better for their economy, for their business. They're not doing anything wrong. From our perspective, we would like that they should support Medina Yisrael. But they have to do whatever's in their best interest. If you have a country who supports terrorism, so, I don't know. Sometimes we'll say that that's chamsanusa, gazlanusa. But part of the taxes you have to pay because... certain percent of the taxes is to take care of the things that everybody needs, all the needs that they share in common. So again, so the Gemara here is talking about gaboim or muhsin, tax collectors, who are collecting more than they're entitled to, way more than they're entitled to collect. They bought the right from the government to collect the taxes, and as such, they have a right to charge a little extra, but not to charge five times too much. Charge a little extra because they have to keep records, they're bookkeeping, they have to send out bills, and so on and so forth. It's a nuisance. But to overcharge way more, that you're not allowed to do. So that's what the Gemara says. That was Hosifu Aleim. Why was it Hosifu Aleim? Aren't they outright Gazlanim? They're charging way more than they're entitled to. So the Gemara says on the fifth wide line, Meikoris, so that was Hosifu. Meikoris, so originally, there was the first stage of Dinim de Rabbanan that appears in the Mishnah. The second stage was Hosif Aleim. This is the third stage. Why do you need the third stage? Because Meikor initially saw that the Rabbanan thought, my dekaitz lehukah shakli, whatever they're entitled to collect, that's how much they collect, then take a little extra, that's what they're entitled to. The amount that's kotzus, gave in the chosah, once the rabbis came to the realization, the koshakli is era, they're taking way more than they're entitled to, paslinu, so they're outright gazlan. Yeah. Omer, Rabbi, Rabbi Shomer, Echad Rabbi Behemagasa, Echad Rabbi Behemagasa. It doesn't make a difference. Behemagasa, Behemagasa. The Gemara says, how can it be? But Rabbi himself contradicted himself. Omer, Rabbi, Umi, Omer, Rabbi, Hachi. Is that Rabbi's opinion? But Omer, Rabbi said otherwise. Rabbi Behemagasa, Behemagasa, Psulim, Chutz, Lord, Ksherim. Rabbi Behemagasa, Afil, Behemagasa, Ksherim. So he said, it's not true. He says, Rabbi Behemagasa is koshulated. The Gemara says, no. That's talking Behemagasa. How Behemagasa mitna? If he's raising animals inside. So if it's inside, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to raise behemoth daka because behemoth daka, sheep and goats can jump out, they're going to run out, they're going to destroy the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. That's Tosfos quotes, that's a Mishnah Bava Kamma. That you're not allowed to raise behemoth daka in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah, in the end of Chosh Mishpat, writes that the din no longer applies because Man Azeh, the Ramah lived in the 1500s. Din doesn't apply today in Eretz Yisrael because there are no Jewish farmers in Eretz Yisrael. Today does apply. Today the din still does apply. So you're not allowed to raise behemah daka, even the megadlim, even if you're raising them indoors because we're afraid they're going to jump out and they're gonna eat all the grass and it's gonna look awful. Eretz is gonna look awful. We want Eretz to look green, but we're talking over here, and Rava, when he comments on this brisa on the Tosef to Asif Aleim, that the Royim apostle, that's if he's a shepherd, he grazes the sheep outside. So then he's going to have them graze the common practice farms. They have them graze in other people's farms. So he's an outright ganav. Then the Gemara says, "Achanan imistava." We can prove the Rava is right that roi behema gas is also possible because it's often in Mishnah. Mishnah says that man amal shlosha roi bokar was a machlokes satanai whether he can back out or not. The Gemara says, "Yochel achseba." The Chacham say, "Any yochel achseba." We say it depends. But the Kodesh Madin, Lachek Madin. What's wrong with roi behema gas? You see that roi behema gas. You see that roi behema gas are possible edus. My lovely edus, the simple pshat the Mishnah is roi behema gas are possible edus. So he said that even Behem Agas also possible. It must be that there's a chilek between Royim and Megadlim. Gemara says, no. When the Mishnah says, Shloshe Roy Bokar, not that you mekabel them as Eidim, you mekabel them Lidino, as Dayanim. And what's wrong? Why are they possible? Because they are Mehoris, because they don't know the Halachas. They can ami, I'll prove to you that Pshat and Mishnah that it's Dayanim, and not because when the Tanish Shloshe Roy Bokar, Eidi Eidi Shloshe Lami, what do you need three? Three is because of Dayanim. You can't prove in the Mishnah that Rav is right. Echa Rav Behem Akas, Echa Rav Behem Adak does make a difference. Mishnah is talking about Dayanim and the Pasa because they're Am Haaretz. Tereg Digmara, Elamai, Ladina. So what are you saying? Pshat in the Mishnah is, Shlosh Rav Bokar, Apostle Lodun. You can't prove in the Mishnah that Rav is right. We accept that Rav is right, but you can't prove in the Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah means the three people, Apostle, the Dayanim. So why does it say, Tereg Digmara, Ma'ir Yishlosh Roy Boker, Kol Beit Kloses Lugmig, the Lugamri Dina Nami. Any three Amaratsim apostle. Why did you mention Roy Behema, Roy Boker, Shlosh Roy Boker? Roy Boker sounds like they're Gazlonim, that the apostle laid this also. If you're telling me Shlosh Roy Boker means Amaratsim, so what do you pick on cowboys? Just say Shlosh Amehoritz. Why do you say Shlosh Roy Boker? Morris says, Nahochi Kama. This is what it means. If you the Chachamim had a machlekes with Rameh, whether the Yochel Achsaba, any Yochel Achsaba, Chacham say any Yochel Achsaba. So the Rabbi Natam in Tosfos explained before, we had two Tosfos in the first daf in the Perek, that if you mekabel a tarte l'reyusa, such a puzzle, that there are two strikes against them, that such a guzman, that even the Chachamim would say the Yochel Achsaba. So one might have thought over here, cowboys, they never come into the city, they never heard of any dinter, they never heard of any normal business. So one might have thought it's such a guzma of a psul, Roy Bakar. They're not mu'uriv. They never come into society. So they never heard how business runs. So one might have thought that even if you're mekabel, Roy Bakar, as dayanim, the kabbalah shouldn't be valid. The Gemara says, Hachikama. That's why the Mishnah says, Roy Bakar, Shlosha Roy Bakar. It doesn't just say, Shlosha Amaratzim. Afilu Hani, even cowboys, farmers, the Loshichet B'Yishuv, they never come into the city. They never heard anything how business runs. Nonetheless, the Aloch is like the Chachamim. That if you mekabel them, so you can't back out. And I don't treat it like the Tartel Reyusa, like the Rabbi Natam said. If it's so puzzle, they even B'Yevet the Kabbalah doesn't mean anything. No. B'Yevet the Kabbalah is binding in any Yochel Asim. Then Gemara has a Shaila. A fellow goes into he becomes a tax collector for the government. So do you assume from day number one that he's cheating? Or do you say no? Maybe there's some tax collectors who are honest and they don't take more than they're entitled to. Or a fellow becomes a shepherd. So you assume even before you ascertain that he has the practice of letting his sheep graze in other people's fields, you assume right away he's a shepherd, he's postulatus right away. You'd make a hachrozah right away, he's postulatus. So you have to wait till you ascertain that is really having his animal. He's encouraging his sheep or his behemoths to graze in someone else's field. So the Gemara makes a distinction. Am Rabbi Yudah makes Rabbi Yudah. The Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel says, Stam Roy Apostle, Stam Gabai Kosher. You don't assume a tax collector is automatically possible unless he ascertain that he's cheating, that he's taking way more than he's entitled to. But a Stam Shepherd, you should assume that he is possible. So you will be Machriz, Tosfos points out. The Gemara says, Achavav and Aveiz. But all of these people over here, Hosifu, Asifim, all of these people, you need Achrozeh. So when a person becomes a shepherd, right away you make a hachrozah. When a person goes into the line to become the tax collector for the government, you only make a hachrozah once he ascertained that he was cheating, that he was taking way more than he's entitled to. So to demonstrate that this is true, the Gemara tells a story. The Rav Zeira was an Amora, and his father used to be the tax collector. Avur the Rav Zeira Ovad Gaviusa Tleisoshne. He was a tax collector for 13 years, and he was extremely honest. Whenever the mayor, whenever the one of the region would come to the city to see how things are going, how big is the population in the city, whether the taxes correspond to the population, when Rav Zeira's father would see the Talmid HaChamim, he would recite for them the Pasuk in Nomi, go hide. Go hide. The Pasuk is talking about a different thing from the attacks of the enemy. So he said, go hide, that the mayor of the region is going to come, the governor of the region is going to come, go hide. So he won't see that you're here and he won't collect taxes. When he saw the other people in the city, they made masa to the government. So ki havi chazi inshi the masa, when he saw the other citizens of the city, Omar, he would tell him, Vreshnara osa la masa, the chief governor of the region is coming to the city, and as soon as he comes, nochis abo the pumbro, he's going to shech the parents in front of the children, and a brother pumap is going to shech the children in front of the parents. They're not going to kill anybody, but he's going to rip everybody off, he's going to charge fantastic taxes. So he encouraged everyone that they should hide. What right does he have to encourage everyone to hide, but the government has a right to take taxes? The answer is, the government was taking more than that they were entitled to. The king and the governor has din in the machusa. He has the right to enrich himself on the people, but not to become a multi-billionaire at the expense of the people. Everyone should suffer poverty, and he should be sitting in a golden throne and so on. So if it's unreasonable, so he was a tax collector for 13 years, and it was very nice of him. Umignasi kuliyam, everybody would hide when the Reish Nara would come. All the people would hide. And the taxes were remained low, and the deal of the Machusa was taken care of. He was collecting the taxes more than enough for the Reish Nahara. And Kiossi, when the Reish Nahara came, when the governor of the region came, Amalei, Mimane boy, who can we collect taxes from? It's a small population in the city because everybody was hiding. Nobody there, everybody disappeared the day he was supposed to come. And so the mayor, he succeeded in keeping the taxes low. So he was in fulfillment of Din and Machusa. The government got their rightful taxes, and he didn't take too much. Everything was fine. When he was about to die, he left at Savoir. He kept records of everybody who paid all the taxes. So on one occasion, he collected taxes from one person in order to give it to the government. And before he died, he said, make sure you reimburse that man. I have $13 that are tied up in a sadin, in a cloth container. I thought I was going to have to give this money to the government, and I didn't have to give it to the government. So give the man back his taxes. The money is not mine. So the Gemara proves from that story, who are the nami, other tax collectors. A stam tax collector, stam gabai, is not postulated. Only once you ascertain that he's ripping off the public, that he's charging way more than he's entitled to, so then you make a hachroz, and then you declare that he's postulated. But a stam raya, once he goes into that field, he becomes a raya, then we assume that he is postulated. Okay. That's what Hosif alayim. So you have the gazlon shelter, then you have the gazlonim midi rabbonim. One of the gazlonim midi rabbonim that was mentioned in the Mishnah was Sochrei Shviyos. So Sochrei Shviyos, we said, really shouldn't be postulated. He didn't violate a law sheyesh ba malchus amisa. He violates an isar asay liochla v'lo l'schorim, but he does it lahanos mamon. Sochrei Shviyos do it lahanos mamon. So any aver that you do lahanos mamon, that's a rosha d'chomus. The Rambam and the Rish said you need a law sheyesh ba malchus amisa. That's only a rosha d'lav d'chomus. The Sochrei Shviyos a rosha d'chomus. So the Mishnah says that the din changed. Amar Rav Shimon, Mishnah is Tamar Shimon, is Rav Shimon by Yichai. So the Mishnah quotes Rav Shimon Chav Dalam at base. Betchila, in the earlier generations, Hoikari Moslem Oisri Shviyas, the din used to be different. They gave them a different label. Yisharabu Hanasim, at a later stage, something changed historically. Chazal Krosam, Sechri Shviyas. So what changed exactly? What was in the earlier generation? What was in the later generation? What the earlier generation they were mekel, and the later generation they were machmer or fakir. The earlier generation they were machmer, later generation they were mekel. So it's very unclear. So that's what the Gemara discusses. This is a very famous Gemara. This Gemara is relevant for the Heta Mechira in Eretz Yisrael. Shemitah was always a problem. As Ma'an Bais Rishon, Shemitah was a problem. And the Psukim say in the Teuchachem in B'chukai Sai that if we'll violate the laws of Shemitah, we'll be chased out of Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi and Chumash quotes the calculation for the Gemara in the end of Erechin, that the Gol Hashiv Mishana corresponded to the 70 Shemitah in the Yovlin that Bnei Yisrael violated during that period till the Churban Bais Rishon. So Shemitah was always a problem. So in the 1600s, this Sfardish Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, there were no Ashkenazim at that time. There were only Sfardim. The Sfardish Gedolim in the 1600s came up with what they call in recent years the Heta Mechir, that if you sell the farm to a non-Jew, so you assume the laws of Shemitah don't apply. Where does that come from? Because the Gemara in the middle of Gittin, Perek HaShaleach, the end of Perek HaShaleach, the last two blot in Perek HaShaleach, Gemara has a discussion. If a Jew sells a farm to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, and it's owned by a non-Jew, all the fruits and vegetables, peiros that grow in Eretz Yisrael, are tevel, is supposed to be mafresh trumas amais. What if a non-Jew owns a farm? You say, yesh kinyan anochi b'Eretz Yisrael. If a non-Jew owns a farm, does he own the farm? Of course he owns the farm. He bought the farm. Yesh kinyan anochi b'Eretz Yisrael. A non-Jew owns the farm. But the question is, do you say, yesh kinyan anochi b'Eretz Yisrael, hafkiya miyat trumas amaisers? If a non-Jew owns a farm, do you say, you're not chayv to give trumas amaisers or not? So that's, the Gemara shows it's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes hamarayim. Yeah. So how do we pass on Allah? We pass on ein kinyan anochi l'hafkiya miyat trumas amaisers. If a non-Jew buys a farm, he has a right to plant whatever he wants. He has a right to build houses, to do whatever he wants. But it doesn't pater from Chumas and Mises. So the Gemara says, but what do you do? There are Mishnais that say not so. There's a Mishnah that says, if a non-Jew buys a farm in Surya, that the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So the Gemara says, Surya is a different story. Surya was always a big debate. Surya was not originally part of the Gvulas of Eretz Yisrael that was promised to Avraham Avinu. David HaMelech went and he conquered Aram Tzoba, he conquered Surya on his own, and the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ches calls it Kibush Yochid. And there's a Machlokes Satanayim where the Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush Allah Shmei Kibush. And the Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, it took 14 years, there was Shevish Yikovshu and Shevish Achilta. It took 7 years till they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael from the Lamed Aleph Melochim. Then it took Shevish Achilta. They divided Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim, and the Mishpachas, and then the Yechidim. At the end of the Shevish Yikovshu, the Reuven and Gad Nechatsu Shevet HaManasseh went back to Eva Yar. And then, so after the Shevish Achilka, the Chalukka was the Gemara of the Kibush, and the Kibush was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. So for the first 14 years, there was no Chiyuv Trumas and Maisvus, there was no Shemitah B'Yoivom, because it didn't yet have Kedusha Saretz. Chala was right away. The Gemara points that, Mishenichnas Yisrael, immediately, right away, there were Chayv. Chalukah says, B'Vayachem Al Ha'aretz. But by Trumas and Maisvus, it doesn't say B'Vayachem, as it comes, it says Kisavaya Al Ha'aretz. Kisavai means after Bias Kuchen, after everybody moves in, means after Kibush V'chilu. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, the Rambam beginning of Hilchus Trumas writes, that the first Shemitah was year 21, after Mishenichnas Yisrael, because the first 14 years didn't count, and the first year for Shemitah cycle was the 15th year, so the 15th to the 21st. So the 21st year was the first Shemitah, and the first Yovel was the 64th year, because the first 14 years didn't count. So the 64th year was really the 50th year. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush Rabbi. And the Rambam writes, there's a parsha in Chumash, it's in Matas Masay, I forgot already where it is. It says when before they wage the war to conquer Eretz Yisrael, they have to have nasiach and nasiach alamat tikhu lencholus haaretz. So they have a nasi representing the whole shevet. They drew a map of Eretz Yisrael, and they decided which soldiers should go to conquer which area. You don't just go. You don't wage a war haphazardly. You have to send soldiers to every area. So they decided how they're going to do the kibush. So the Rambam says, well, the Rambam explained, what was that all about? What did they need? Nosiach and Nosiach Lamata Tikhu Lincholus Oretz to plan in advance, to draw a map and to plan in advance. So the Rambam explains, because the halacha requires that kibush, you need kibush rabin. So if one shevet is going to conquer an area and they're going to keep that area, that'll be kibush yochid, they conquered for themselves. So they drew a map and they drew lots in advance and they decided shevet Yehud is going to get that area. So why should Shevet Yisachar fight over here and Shevet Yehudah fight over there? Let Shevet Yisachar fight to get the land that's going to be ultimately theirs. Let Shevet Yehudah fight to get the area that's going to be theirs. But it shouldn't look like a kibush yochid. They conquered an area and they keep it. So they planned in advance, they drew a map and they made up. We're all conquering all of Eretz on behalf of everybody. And this is going to be labeled as a kibush rabim. So apparently the Rambam understands that that's pshat and the chumash, that you need kibush rabim, that's a din d'oraisa. The kaddish of Eretz is all proper. Eretz Yisrael Gufa is the kibush rabim. So that's why they have Nasiach and Nasi Elecha Lamata Tikchul and Cholos Oretz. The Torah is what? Did the Nasi HaShevet represent the members of the Shevet? So that's the three pshatim in the Gemara, in the first daf and the second perik in Kiddushin. Perik Uish Mekadosh. So first the Gemara thought that the Nisim represented the members of the Shevet Midin Shlichas. Then the Gemara backs out, no, it's Midin Zoch Liyadim Shlavifonov. Then the Gemara says, no, it's Midin Apotropos. But whatever it is, they represented all the members of the Shevet to do what? To draw the map and to plan the attack. What did you need the whole thing for, Alpidin? So the Rambam explains that the whole kibush oret should be labeled as a kibush rabim. So that, apparently everybody did. There never was a machlokes that pshat no chumash. To be mekadosh eretz all proper, you need a kibush rabim. Then there's a pasuk. Where is the pasuk? The last pasuk in Bo'az Chanan, the last pasuk in Ekev. And it says, Kol mokam asher tidrach kaf rag lachem bo, lachem desativ. So the Sifrei has a kamadat pasuk. Kol mokam asher tidrach kaf rag lachem. Kol is always a riboy. How does the pasuk continue? Kol mokam asher tidrach kaf rag lachem bo, lachem desativ. From the northern point to the southern point. When you conquer Eretz, it belongs to the Jewish people. But it says, Kol mokam. So kol is marbi even chutz loretz. So if the Jewish people will conquer additional areas in chutz loretz, that will be contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael will be endowed with Kedusha, so the Kedusha can spill over the border, and you have the ability to be Mekadosh Chutz Loretz as well. So that's what David HaMelech did when he was Koivesh Aram Tzoba in Surya. And that was done with the Kibush Yochid. That's a Shaila, what does it mean, Kibush Yochid? So that seems to be a Machlekes, Rashi and Taisvis and Gittin Davches. So Rashi says, he did on his own, and he kept it for himself, for his own family. He didn't share it with the whole Klal Yisrael. And Taisus has a different shot. He didn't do it with the authorization of the Bez Nagodol. He did it. You're not supposed to conquer additional territories before you first are Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael. When you fill up a cup and you keep on pouring in, so it reaches the top and then it overflows. So when all of Eretz Yisrael is full of Kedusha, every stitch of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha Zaharetz, then you can have the Kedusha spill over the border. Let's say, Rav Soloveitchik said, he bought his home in Boston. So kibush has to be with blood, with a gun. You have to drop a bomb. He bought his home in Boston, so that's a kibush. So if you hold kibush, yochid shmei kibush, his home in Boston has Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. So he said he doesn't think so. He thinks that this din kol mokam, that you can endow Kedusha Sa'aretz to Aratzis HaNasafis, that's what the Rishonim call Aratzis HaNasafis, only if the Eretz HaNasafis is contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. So the Kedusha spills over the border. If you'll conquer Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, the Aratzis HaSmuchas Laretz Yisrael, so the Kedusha will spill over from Eretz Yisrael into Chutz Laretz. So that's what Taisus says. You have no right to conquer additional, to have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael spill over into the contiguous areas, unless you have Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael, so the cup is full to the top, so then it flows over, you can Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael and so forth. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Yeshua, says like Tosfos. Rashi in the beginning of Yeshua says that you have no right to conquer additional areas until you first kibush all of Eretz Yisrael. So it's a question, what's with the Rashi? Rashi means what he wrote in Gittin, that Kibush Yochid, Surya was Kibush Yochid, because David kept it for himself, didn't share it with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Maybe Rashi also means like Taisus, that he was Kaibish Surya before he conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. Whatever. So that's a Machlekes Hatanoim, where the Kibush Surya was For in the days of David HaMelech, they treated Surya as if it had Kedushas Haaretz. They observed Shemitah, Yovel, Trumas HaMaisus, everything. But that was a major machlekes, an ongoing machlekes, whether that was their Eis or the Rabban. So the accepted opinion is that it's only the Rabban. The Kibush Yochid, Lav Shmei Kibush. Other Tanaim and Amoraim were of the opinion, no. Kibush Yochid, Feretz Yisrael proper is Lav Shmei Kibush. That's why he needed Nosi Yochid Lamata, Tikkun, and Cholos HaOretz. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael proper has to be a Kibush Rabban. That's what the Rambam writes in the beginning, Perek Aleph and Hilchos Trumas. But as far as Aratz is on the surface, as long as Eretz Yisrael is full, all of Eretz Yisrael are full of Kedusha, the Kedusha can spill over the border, even if you make a Kibush Yochid. And the Paschal not so. The Paschal, you need Kibush Rabban both to endow Eretz Yisrael proper with Kedusha Soretz, as well as to, for the Aratz is on the surface too. So the Gemara in the end of Perek HaShaleach has this machlokes, but the yesh kinyan and nocha beretz ala hafkir miyat shumas amaisu sanat. So the Gemara comes to maskana, no, ain kinyan and nocha. Then the Gemara says, but it's a beferish and nishtan, it says, not so. If a non-Jew buys a farm in Surya, it says beferish that the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So the Gemara says, no, the Mishnah is talking about Surya. Surya is only kibush yochid. And the Mishnah goes with the Shita, the way we pass from Lalacha Kibush Yochid, Lav Shmei Kibush. So the whole Kibush of Surya is only with the Rabbanah. So if you sell it to a non-Jew, so then, Yesh Kinyan Anochri. When do you say Ein Kinyan Anochri? When you're dealing with a Kedusha Soretz, when you're dealing with a Din Deraisa. If you're only dealing with Surya, it's only a Din Derabbanah, then you say Yesh Kinyan Anochri, Lahavkiya, Miyad. The Mishnah says Lahavkiya. Mishnah is not talking about Shumas Ma'at, Mishnah is talking about Shemitah, that the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So this, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara. So the Sephardic Gedolim in the 1600s had a big problem. There were hardly any Jewish farmers at that time. And the attitude was that if a Jew owns a farm, he's not going to make a parnasa. And they didn't make enough parnasa for the 6 years that they were working. They didn't make enough parnasa that they should be able to take off the seventh year. They would starve to death. They would starve. So the Gedolim had to come up with some eitza for the farmer. So they came up with this eitza. They'll sell the land to a goy. And since even in Eretz Yisrael proper, the whole obligation to observe Shemitah is only with the Rabbanim today, it's no longer Min HaTorah. And the Gemara said that in Surya, the Gemara said on the last daf in HaShaleach, in Gittin, based on the Mishnah, that in Surya it's only Min HaRabbanim. So they say, Yesh Kinyan Ocher, Havkir, Miyad Shemitah. So the same is true regarding Eretz Yisrael proper today, because Eretz Yisrael is only Min HaRabbanim. Why is Eretz Yisrael today only Min HaRabbanim? So there are two explanations why. So the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Moed Katan has all the dinim of Chalavayim. So on Daf Gimel in Moed Katan, the Gemara is explaining why the Chachamim were mekel a little bit in Shemitah, Bizman Hazeh and Eretz Yisrael. So they say because there is a Machlokes HaTanoim in the Sifra, the beginning of Parshas Behar. The Chumash describes every seventh year of Shemitah, and then there's a new paragraph, a new parsha, and then it says every 50th year is Yovel. And then it says regarding the Shnas HaYovel, the Shnas HaYovel Azaz Toshuvu Yishal Achuzasa Yishal Mishpachta Toshuvu, the Saras HaChosus LeBalein B'Yovel, whoever bought a field has to give it back when it comes Yovel, and if you have an Eved Ivri, you have to set it refit B'Yovel. And then it says, how does it say? Across from Drah Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh. That you should declare, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. That's the passing on the Liberty Bell. Liberty Bell was commissioned by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania to represent the state of Pennsylvania. And then the other 13 colonies liked it, so they took it as the symbol of freedom of the American country, of the 13 colonies. So that passing, cross from Dura Bar, it's Chol Yashvea. So the Gemara in the end of Erechon, the Aflam and Beis, comments, Chol Yashvea means, Mispan Shekol Yashvea Hu Alevo. The Gemara says, towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, after the beginning of the Golos of some of the Shvatim, so the mitzvah of Yovel no longer applied. They didn't observe Yovel because there's no longer Kol Yashvah Aleha. The Pashtuses and the Bais Sheni was also not Kol Yashvah Aleha. It wasn't Kol Yashvah Aleha. Taisus in HaShaleach quotes the Rabbeinu Tam who disagrees. He shows from the Mishnah that they did observe Yovel Bizman Vayisheni. So the Pashtun says they observed Yovel Midrabban. They didn't observe Menatera, they observed it all in Midrabban. So Rabbeinu Tam thinks not. So he thinks that they observed Yovel Menatera. But there was just a fraction of the world Jewish population, nowhere near 50%. There were hardly any Jews from the billions of Jews who lived in Babel. I think 43,000 Jews moved back with Ezra. There was a drop in the bucket. There wasn't Kol Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, as long as every Shevet is represented, that's called Kol Yisrael. And the Psukim say, when they came back with Ezra, every Shevet had a representation. That's called Kol Yisrael. But it's usually assumed not like the Rabbeinu Tam. It's usually assumed you have to have a majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, and that's not even enough. The Gemara says you need more for Kol Yisrael. That's not enough. You have to have more. The Gemara says even if you have all the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but they're Me'uravim, you don't have Shevet Reuven living separately, Shevet Binyamin living separately, that's also a lack of Kol Yisrael. So even if all the Jews will move back to Eretz Yisrael today, the Pashtus and the Gemara is that we don't know who belongs to what Shevet, so the Shvatim are not living separately. Still not going to be Kol Yisrael HaLeh. Yes, the Posh Pshat and the Gemara. So Bisman, the Gemara never spells it out. Rashi on the Gemara says, the Gemara is alluding to this Machlekes Rebbe and the Chachamim, Machlekes Satanaim, which is recorded in the Sifra at the beginning of Parshas Behar. It says every 7th year is Shmita, and then there's a new paragraph, then it says every 50th year is Yodel. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is of the opinion that Shmita is only deraisa if there's a chance it can lead up to Yovel. If you know in advance that you don't have Kol Yisrael Aleho, then the whole observance of the Shmita is only Midrabban. Shmita is only Midrabban. And the Chachamim disagree. There are two different parshiyot. There's a parsha of Shmita, then there's a new paragraph of parsha of Yovel. So Shmita is deraisa even if you don't have Krosim Drabbar as L'chol Yisrael, even if you know in advance that it's not going to be able to lead up to Yovel. So the Gemara seems to say that we paskan like Rebbe, that Shemitah is only the rice that is going to lead up to Yovel. That's the Pashtus in the Gemara in the Dav Gimel in Moikot, and that's the Pashtus in the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara talks about Pruzbol, Bizman is at Pruzbol. The Gemara says the Shemitah, Bizman is at only with the Rabbanon, because it's not going to lead up to Yovel. So therefore, the whole Shemitah is only Mirabban. So Rashi and Gittin, Rashi and Ma'ikot, Nav Gimel, quotes the Sifra, Machleg is Rebbe Nacham, it seems to me that we pass on like Rebbe. The issue is the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Shemitah applies Bein Bizman Abayis, Bein Shalob Bizman Abayis. So the Kesem Mishnah says on the side of the Rambam, Bein Shalob Bizman Abayis means after the Churban Abayis. After the Churban Abayis, the Jews were sent into Golos. So there wasn't Kol Yosheveh HaAleho. So how can Shemitah be their ice if the Jews are sent to Golos? So the case says, you see that the Rambam holds like the Chachamim. He doesn't hold like Rebbe. So that's a difficult case of Mishnah. The Pashto says that's not the Rambam meant in the days of David HaMelech. There was no Beis HaMikdash. In the days of Shaul HaMelech, there's Yeshua Ben Nun. All the years, Bein Bifnei Abayis, Bein Shelo Bifnei Abayis, doesn't mean after the Churban Abayis and the Jews have sent him to Golos and nobody lives in Eretz Yisrael. Nobody lives in Eretz, you don't have Kol Yisrael Aleho. So Shemitah will only be in the Rabban. The Rambam meant Shemitah is not, Shemitah and Yovel are not connected with the Beis HaMikdash. They had Shemitah and Yovel from the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Starting from the 15th year, they started counting Shemitah and Yovel. The 21st year was the first Shemitah, there was no Beis HaMikdash. And the 64th year was the first Yovel. Bein Mifnei Abayis, Bein Shelo Bifnei Abayis doesn't mean after the Churban Abayis and the Jews are no longer living in Eretz Yisrael and you don't have Kol Yisrael and you still have Shemitah. So that's a difficult Kesef Mishnah. The Pashtus says, they say the Kesef Mishnah and the Chuvus and the Avkas Rechel, the Chuvus of Rabbi Yosef Kar seems to have backed out. The Pashtus says that it's not correct. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel has this long kuntris. You mentioned Rabbi Yosef Engel was a mechutin of the Kotzke Rebbe, Morgenstern. And the Kotzke Rebbe, the end of the 1800s, when the Jews started to move back to Europe and make kibbutzim and colonize Europe, so they had to rely on the Het HaMechirah. So the Kotzke Rebbe publicized the whole Kol Koire, that those who rely on the Het HaMechirah are Mechal Shabbos, but for Esid Dina Ka'akum, because the Chumash refers to Shemitah Shabbos HaOretz. So just like Mechal Shabbos, but for Esid Dina Ka'akum, so one who violates Shemitah is Mechal Shabbos, prefers Siddina Ka'akum, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yosef Engel was a Mechutin, so he writes this long letter, and then he printed it, 99 pages. Oitzus Yosef on Shvius, several other Svarma, his name is Rabbi Yosef Engel. So several other Svarma called Oitzus Yosef. So this is Oitzus Yosef on Shvius. So he says he's practically prepared to swear a Shvur Deraisa that the Shemitah B'zman is Ezra Rabban. Not like the Kotzke Rebbe said that is the Raisa, based on the Kesem Mishnah. He said the Kesem Mishnah Pshad is not correct. Doesn't mean after the Churban. It means in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, the days of the Shoftim, the days of Shol, the days of David. There was no Beis HaMikdosh. But after the Churban Abai, so you don't have Kol Yashve Aleh. So we assume like the simple reading of the Gemara, and Dav Gimel Amayit Kotten, and in Gittin, Daf Lamed Zayin, by the Sugya Pruzbo, the Shemitah B'zman is Ezra Rabban, because it can't lead up to Yod. So that's one explanation. Why should we assume the Shemitah B'zman is Ezra Rabbanon? Because Shemitah can't lead up to Yovel, because Yovel needs a condition of Kol Yashveh Aleha, and we're lacking that. Rashi on Ardaf writes a different reason. Why? Rashi writes about 9 lines from the top of Chavav and Aleph. Puku zirav the Shviyas. Shviyas b'zman zed rabban. The batla kedusha sa'aretz. Batla kedusha sa'aretz. That's surprising. At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Hamadina, when the Babylonian armies took over Eretz Yisrael, so that was a big debate for the Kedusha Rishonim. Kedusha Rishonim was accomplished by Yeshua ben Nun. Tosis there in Yevamos on Daf Pei Beis quotes Rabbein Hanan. Kedusha Rishonim means Kedusha Sarez that was accomplished in the days of Avram Avinu, and the Kedusha Shmir was the Kedusha Sarez that was accomplished in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So Tosis says, with all due respect to Rabbein Hanan, that's not correct. There was no Kedusha Sarez in the days of Avram Avinu. That's not Kedusha Rishonim. Kedusha Rishonim means Kedusha that was accomplished through Kibush Bechiluk in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The 14 years of Kibbush Mechilik, that's called Kedusha Rishayna. And at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, that was a machlokes for the Kedusha Rishayna, Kitcha Lasi Lavai, or Kedusha Rishayna, Loi Kitcha Lasi Lavai. So the Psak HaMekubal was that Loi Kitcha Lasi Lavai. And then after 7 years of Golus Bavel, when there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz, then Ezra Nechemi were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael a second time around. And that's called the Kedusha Shniyah. So what's the din Kedusha Shniyah? Was the Kedusha Shniyah Batla at the time of Churban HaMedina when the Roman armies took over Eretz Yisrael? Do you say that just like Kedusha Rishayna was Batla when the Babylonian armies took over Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Shniyah was also Batla? So the Ruba of the Rishayna assume it's a Machlokes Satanah. It's Machlokes Satanah in the Gemara of the Perish, where the Kedusha Shniyah was Batla, or Loi Batla. Will we have to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael a third time? Anu. So most of the Rishayna hold no. Most of the Rishonim hold Kedusha Shniyah was Loi Batla, and the Rambam gives an explanation why. So the Rambam says the Kedusha Rishonah was based on Kibush. It took 7 years Kibush, and then 7 years Chalukah. Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. So since the Mekadosh rested, the Kedusha Sarah rested on Kibush, when the Kibush was undone, when the Babylonian armies took away Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people, so it's like yanking out the rug from underneath, so there's no more Kibush. So there's no more Kedusha. So the Kedusha vanished into thin air. But the Kedusha Shniyah, there was no Kibush. There was no independent Jewish government at the beginning of Bayisheni, till deep into the Bayisheni, till the days of the Hashmonai. So the Kedusha Shniyah wasn't based on Kibush, so it shouldn't be undone because of Kibush. So that's a generally accepted opinion, that the Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was Loi Batla. Kedusha Shniyah was Kitcha Lo Zilona. The Bi'ur Agro in Shin Lamed Aleph in Yerudea. The dinim of the tour wrote, the tour lived in Chutzlort. So the tour didn't write so much about mitzvahs hatluyos b'atzmus, because it wasn't relevant at all. As hilchas chala, because chala is noigi in a Chutzlort, but from the mice and shmita the yovel, like in shikhatez, not noigi in Chutzlort, so he hardly wrote anything. So even though the Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they were a couple of Jewish farmers, very small, they were all busy composing Lechon Rananah, and the Lodoidi, and the Kabbalah Shabbos, and the Beis Yosef, and the Magid Meshar, they were studying Kabbalah. There were hardly any Jewish farmers. But there were a couple of farmers, but everything is in Shin Lamed Aleph. There's one long sim in Shin Lamed Aleph. So the Bi'ur Agro there in Shin Lamed Aleph quotes, in the middle of a discussion, he quotes the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is by the Rabbein of Baruch, of Baal HaTaisus. Much of Choshen Mishpat is based on the Sefer HaTrumos. That's by a Sfardi, that's by a Talmud of the Ramban. about apoytiki and all kinds of complicated dinim amenis that things that we never even learn in Gemaras. He much of chash mishpas from Sefer Atrumos. The Sefer Atrumos is like a kitzur shulchan aruch written by one of the Balei HaTosfos, and he has all of these unique shittas of the Balei HaTosfos. He has it back. About Iri Mavashal Tosfos quotes from the Sefer Atrumos, Klivishin, Klisheni, Iri. So this also, in Sefer Atrumos is known, he paskins, Kedusha Shnia was Batla. That the Zman Hazed, Kedusha Sarts is only Midirabban. So that's where Rashi over here, either Rashi is interpreting this Amora, thinks like the Sefer Atrumos. There was such a sheet in Tanoim and Amoraim, that just like the Kedusha Vishayna, there were three opinions. There's one opinion, Kedusha Vishayna was never Batla. The Kedusha Vishayna that was created by Yeshua Ben Nun was Kitchalasi Lava. It was never Batla. So that opinion was not accepted. The Kedusha Vishayna was Batla at the time of Churban HaMedina when the Babylonian armies undid the Jewish kibush. Then there was a Machlekes, but the Kedusha Shnia was Batla. So the generally accepted opinion was Kedusha Shnia was like Batla. So there was a Manari opinion that that's so. So it could be that Rashi is interpreting this Amara. This Amara thinks that Kedusha Shnia was Batla. Or it could be that Rashi means that we pass on like that La'alocha. That's what the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi was the father of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he has three volumes of Shailos HaTshuvos. So the third chelik of the Shailos HaTshuvos, they're very thin. So the third chelik of the Shailos HaTshuvos starts off with a whole bunch of tshuvos on Shemitah B'zman HaZeh, because they were writing about it in the Jewish newspapers at that time in Europe, whether they should be lie, should not be lie, and they had to mechir. So he was opposed to the head to mechir. So he discusses this Rashi. The Rashi says, Shvi'is B'zman HaZeh, the Rabban, the Batl of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Rashi is saying, he holds like that, La'alocha. Rashi is saying that that's what this Amoret thinks, and that Rashi is not necessarily taking a stand. Rashi usually does not take a stand. Rashi just mefarish. It's rare that Rashi, in his commentary, I think, well, they have tshuvas from Rashi, but it's rare that Rashi, in his commentary, takes his stand. All right. So that's the Shaila over here. So the Sfaradish Gedolim in the 1600s came up with this Einfall, that since Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanim for whatever reason, either because Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz, or because Shemitah depends on Yovel, and we don't have Kol Yashveh Halel, so it can't lead up to the other, so the whole Shemitah is only with the Rabbanon for whatever reason. So whenever Shemitah is only the Rabbanon, then the Gemara said in the end of Perek HaShalech and Gittin, based on a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah, I forgot already, we have Trumas, Maisus, and Bikurim, I forgot already where the Mishnah is, that when a guy buys a field in Surya, since Surya is only with the Rabbanon, so therefore Yesh Kinyan Achar and Hafkir, so you don't have to observe the laws of Shemitah. So that's what the Beis HaLevi thought, many others as well, but the Beis HaLevi is the Lithuanian yeshivas. Beis HaLevi was a Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin, same time as the Netziv, for a period of time. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva for the last 36 years of Valozhin, the last 39 years in Valozhin. So part of that time, the last few years, Rab Chaim, who was the son of the Beis HaLevi, who married the granddaughter of the Netziv, was co-Rosh Yeshiva. And before Rab Chaim, while before the Beis HaLevi was co-Rosh Yeshiva with the Netziv. So the Beis HaLevi has tshuvas, but he discusses this. And he thinks that it should really make a difference as follows. There is a tshuvas HaRosh, in addition to the Rosh in the back of the Gemara, the Piskei HaRosh. You have Shabbos tshuvas HaRosh. So there's a tshuvas HaRosh, but he writes that the machlekes, the whole discussion in the sugya in the end of Perek HaSholech, less to blot, where the yesh kinyan adochil hafkia, the atrumas and maisus, doesn't apply to Shemitah. The whole discussion is only for trumas and maisus. When you get to tevel, doesn't apply to Shemitah. Why? Why is there an opinion that yesh kinyan adochil hafkia? What? If a god buys Eretz Yisrael, becomes chutz l'aretz? No, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael, retains the kedusha. No, but the pshat is like this. Whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael, this tefel, if there was a mitzvah safrashas trumas and maestras. So the ikim mitzvah safrashas trumas aset asas kol tvo zarecha, ayotzi asor shana shana, the owner of the field, if the owner of the field is Jewish, and he's obligated to observe 613 mitzvahs, and amongst them is an obligation to be mafrish trumas and maestras, aset asas kol tvo zarecha, and parashas re'ei. So then, if he's not mafrish, then it's tevel. What if the owner of the field is not Jewish? non-Jewish people are not obligated to be mafresh chumas and maaseh. If they want to, tov aleihem bracha. If they want to volunteer, as an enemy mitzvah, I said that's beautiful, but they're not obligated to. So to say they're only obligated to observe the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. So hafreshes chumas and maaseh, they're not mechuyev. So maybe maybe we should say yesh kinyan anocha beretzol hafkir miyat chumas and maaseh, because if the owner of the field is not Jewish, and he was never obligated in the first place to be mafresh chumas and maaseh, so the peiros can't be labeled as tevel. So even if a Jew will buy the peiros from the owner of the field later on, it has to be tevel when you cut it off from the ground. When you cut it off, it was owned by a non-Jew, so there was no mitzvah safrosha in the first place. There's no din of tevel. But as far as Shemitah is concerned, why should it make a difference who the owner of the field is? Shemitah starts with a lot. Sot chal ha-sizah, kama chal ha-sizmar. You're not allowed to till the field, you're not allowed to work in the field. So that's a tshuva sarosh. Rab Chaim, in the Chidushi Rab Chaim in Pi HaShmua, he points out this tshuva sarosh. The Rosh writes in the tshuvas that the whole machlokes never applied at all to Shemitah. The whole machlokes only was regarding tshuvas and maises. But then when the Gemara comes to the maskana that ain't kinyan anochri lahavkiyah, that if you sell a farm to a non-Jew, he's still chayv in tshuvas and maises. So the Gemara asks, but there's a beferish in Mishnah that says, if a non-Jew buys a farm in Syria, the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So the fair Shemitah. The Gemara says, yes, Syria, because Syria is only Midrabban. So how does this jive with the Rosh? The Rosh said there never was a machlekes on Shemitah. The whole machlekes only was on Truman. So the answer is Syria, the Gemara explained, Syria was really a kibush yochid. So kibush yochid, lashmei kibush, it doesn't have a legitimate kedusha soritz min atur. It only has a make-believe Kedusha Midrabbana. Why? Because it was Sof-Kosof who was conquered by David. David HaMelech conquered it. There's a din of Kibush Mochama. Kibush Mochama is an international din. When one country goes to battle, goes to war against another country, with the Behetar B'Yisr, it does make a difference. The country who wins the war acquires ownership of the areas. So David HaMelech acquired ownership of the area. So it belonged to the Jewish people. So Midrabbana, they declared, even though Kibush Yochid Lav Shmei Kibush to be Mekadosh Surya, but Kibush Mochama is an institution of Kedusha. Kibush Mochama is a Kenyan. Kibush Mochama is a Kenyan. So it belonged to David HaMelech, it belonged to the Jewish people. So the make-believe Kedusha Midrabbana rests on the ownership of the Jewish people. So if a non-Jew, if a Nochri will buy an area in Surya, it does not have Kedusha Saritz at all. A non-Jew buys an area in Eretz Yisrael, no one ever had a Havamina, the Rosh says, that Batla Kedusha Saritz. The only Pilpul, the only Havamina, the Gemara, the only Machlekes is, maybe since the Yikam Mitzvah Safrashas from Samaisis is on the Bala Soda, as the Pasuk reads, Aser Tassus called Tuaz Arecha, Ayotze Asoda Shana Shana. So if the owner of the field is not Jewish, he doesn't have 613 mitzvahs, he only has 7 mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And he's not mechuyev to be mafresh. And Mele, the din of Tevel never set in. So even if a Jew will buy it from the non-Jew, maybe it's not chayv in atur. Maybe, but the Rabbanon, but atur is not chayv in shumas and maises. The Gemara says, but the Rabbanon, they made it zera, the Rabbanon, mishum bali kisi. If you're going to leave this din on the books, I'd say, what do we say? There's a din about yura bayi matzeh, shalachol yatarai, aval atarai, shalacherim. Shalacherim means non-Jews. If the chametz belongs to a non-Jew, let's say a repairman, a delivery man, comes to my home, a chalam at Pesach, and he has a sandwich, he has a chametz yik sandwich. I said, Bal Yura, by Matzah, I have to tell him to leave the sandwich outside. No. It says, Shalom Yura Lacha, Shalom Yatar, Avalatar, Shalacherim. Shalacherim means going. If the chametz belongs to a non Jew, there's no Bal Yura by Matzah. So what do? So we have a system. We sell all the chametz to the goy. The chametz belongs to the goy, so there's no Bal Yura. So we'll do the same shtick. The farmers will have multi-billion dollars worth of crops in Eretz Yisrael. They'll sell the farms to a non-Jew, then they'll buy it back from the non-Jew. They have a patent. They'll never have to be mafresh trumas and maaseh. So they made a din with the rabbanon, gzeir mishum bali kisim. The wealthy balabatim will make a hetter mechira every year. They'll sell the farm to a non-Jew, then they'll buy it back, so they won't have to give trumas and maaseh. So they made a din with the rabbanon that even if you sell to a non-Jew, you buy it back, you still chayv with the rabbanon. So that's a shaila. Is that only if it belonged to a Jew and he sold, like Mechiras Chametz, belonged to a Jew, he sold it to a Goya Haram, and then you buy it back. What if the farm for Duri Duris belongs to non-Jews? That's also Gzeir Mishum Bali Kisim. That there also you have to be a Mafish, Tumas and Mises. Oh no? Maybe the Gzeir is Bali Kisim is only if he did it, Derech Haram. So that was a Machlekes during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat and had a bezdin, and Mabit was part of his bezdin. Mabit, a Moshe Ditrani. So the he had a lot of, he had a few disputes. They were in agreement. Most things they were in agreement. And they had a few disputes on different things. So one was on that, whether the Xeris Balikism only applies if the farm originally belonged to a Jew and he sold and he bought it back, this kind of shtick. Or even if the farm belonged to the Goy all along. They made a din midirabon, that Paris Shigdela Mishu Sak Machai midirabon. So that was a big machlokes, and the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Trumas, I think the end of Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumas, writes that the Bezdin, they convene the Bezdin, and they paskin, you're not allowed to be machma like the Mabit. The din is lahokel, and whoever is machma like the Mabit is in Cherem. Now in our generation, it's a start to be machma and everything. The Mishnah Berurah introduced the start to be machma and everything. So the Beis Yosef quotes, they made Xeris Nachash. Nachash is a Rosh Tevis, Nidu Yicherim Shamta. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Poritz Geder, Yishachenu Nachash. You have fences around farms that the wild animal shouldn't run in. Whoever breaks the fence, he will be bitten by the snake that he allowed to enter it. So the Gemara quotes that Pasuk, Poritz Geder, Yishachenu Nachash, in the sense that if a person violates a din derabbanan, the Chachamim make a Geder, Asay Siyoglatar, make a Geder, Shmartam es Mishmarti. Same mishmaris l'mishmarti. So whoever violates Xerah d'Rabbana deserves to yishochenu nochash. He should be bitten by the rabbinical snake, the chivya d'Rabbana. What's the snake from d'Rabbana? The cherem. The cherem is a curse that the bezin gives the person. He should drop that because he violated Xerah d'Rabbana. The ikadin of nidui. We were talking the other day. It says that there was on chotayim and aleph. The Gemara says that there was a butcher who was caught selling non-kosher meat. So it says, and the girsa on the side, we have the girsa in the Gemara Pasle. He passed him, Rab Nachman passed him later. So on the side they say that Tosfos, the Kesef Mishnah, and others had the girsa, Shamta, he put him in Cherem. And then we notice that all of the dinim at Cherem appear in the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Vav in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Why in Hilchas Talmud Torah? So you look there in the Rambam, the Iker din of Cherem is Poritz Geder. One who violates Xerah d'Rabbanan, and Cherem is really based on the principle of Yeshkerach v'Yachachamim, Lakadov ben Hator b'kum v'yasei lo hayroa shor l'nigda nilsa. The Gemara has later a men's vav. Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Shamati, one of the Tanaim says, I have a tradition, Shamati, it's right before the Mishnah. Tanya Ablezer b'yankev v'yam Shamati, I have a tradition, Shebezn makim v'yonshin shaloi men Hatora. Bezn has the right to administer Malkus Amisa, even shaloi kedin. Even according to the Chumash, you have no right to. The Gemara has a person was riding on a horse on Shabbos. It's only prohibited mid the Rabbanan, and the Torah is permissible. And they gave him skilu. They gave him the death penalty. Shaloi kedin. And another person acted in a violation of pritzis. His bar lishtoi b'farhesi in public, and they gave him malchus. There is no such malchus. There is no pasuk. Shal shor tzvicha lekach. And this is quoted in Chosh Mishmah. Bezna has the right to give Malkus Amisa, Lohi Rosh, or the Migdan Milsa Shaloi Kedin. That's the Nivomis. There's a whole Sugi on Daf Peites and on Daf Tzadik. How far does the authority of Bezna go? So we know that Yeshkach, Yach HaChomim, Lakadam and Ator B'Shevi Altasa. Bezna has the authority to tell us not to blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. And a Gershon is Guy Erev Pesach, he should not bring a Korban Pesach. And a person wears a talus of pishton should not put on tzitzis. They have authority to tell us not to fulfill a mitzvah. That they have authority to allow us to violate an aver of the kumbi asay. That they have authority to allow people to drive to the synagogue on the Sabbath. So that the Gemara has a whole machloikis. The Gemara comes to the Babli comes to the conclusion, no. Yeshkach v'yarchacham v'lakadam natar b'shevi altase. They have authority to tell us to violate mitzvahs b'shevi altase. Don't blow shofar. And don't perform mitzvahs mila. Gemara has an example. The only way to do the mila is to carry the knife in the Carmelis. In the Carmelis, you're not allowed to carry midirabbanan in Torah. You're allowed to carry in the Carmelis, but midirabbanan yesh koach laka b'shev al tasa. You're not hemida debrei, but makam mitzvah. You're not allowed to carry in the Carmelis, even though it means you're not going to perform the mila b'zmana. So that's yesh koach b'achachom in blakadom in Torah b'shev al tasa. But the Maskanas of Babli is not Bikum B'Yaseh. So the Gemara says, but what about this price? So Shamati, or Blazer Meyakim says Shamati, Shedezen, here it says, it's on Yevamas Dav Tzadik on the days. That's the end of the Sugya of Yesh Koach Lakar. The Gemara says, Bez Mak Meyam Shushalayim Meradim. The Gemara says, Yelo, I Ruah Shom Amik Denulsa, on rare cases, yes. So based on that, the Rambam writes that the whole institution of Cherem and Nidui and Shamta is all based on this. Cherem is a curse that nichnes into the Ramach Ivor. Reish Mem Ches is the same letters as Cherem. It's a curse that the person should drop dead. And if the person dies, so we attribute the death to the curse of the Bezin, and the family doesn't observe Avedos, just like the Mishnah says in the sixth Perek, in Digmar Din, that when Bezin administered Mises Bezin, Skila Sveifa Herig Achenek, so the children don't observe Avelis. So too, if some Amisha Meis B'niduyo, Bezdin Sokle Mesarona, they put a big slab of stone on top of the Orein to demonstrate that he really deserved Skila, and the children don't observe Avelis. It says, Bavod Rishon Rina, when the Bezdin puts someone to death, so you have to celebrate. So the main role of Cherem, Nidui Shamta, is one who violates an Issa de Rabban. For its gather, Yishachen u'nochash, one who violates a gzeira de Rabbanon, deserves to be bitten by the chivya de Rabbanon, by the rabbinical snake. The rabbinical snake is the nochash. Nochash yigimatra is nidri cherem shamta. There is a machloikus whether are they three different things. Nidri and cherem are two different things. Cherem is mochamer than nidri. Is shamta a third thing, or are they the same? Nidri is one, and cherem and shamta is the same, or they're three. Nidri cherem, that's a machloikus. But for the purpose of the Rosh Hashanah, we treat them as if they're three things. Nidri cherem shamta is the Rashi Tevis of Nochash. So the Kesa Mishnah quotes this, I think at the end of Perek Aleph and Hilchas Trumas, that the Bezdin knew that there was a machlokes between himself and the Mabit. In the Meir Cherem, no one's allowed to be machma like the Mabit. The Mabit was machma that anything that grows in a shus of a goy, you have to be mafish Trumas and Maisis. That was a chumra midirabon. And the Vesiyasu holds that the Chumra de Rabban, the Xeris Balikisim, was only introduced if he sold it to the Goy, Derech HaRoma. But if he didn't sell it Derech HaRoma, it always belonged to the Goy. Everything grew Bishus HaGoy, and the, what do you call it? The Kri was Bishus HaGoy, Miruach Hakum. Miruach Hakum, Bishus HaGoy, so there wasn't even a Cherem de Rabban, there wasn't even a Din de Rabban, you have to be Mafresh. They say that the Vilna Goy, and they have in the books, Vilna Goy, at one point in his life, decided to move to Eretz Yisrael, so he left his wife and his children behind, and he went on his way, and he sent a letter to his wife, a famous letter, and then he reached to Constantinople, he was going to take a boat to go to Eretz Yisrael, so then he went back to Europe. And nobody knows exactly why did he change his mind. So some say that he planned to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was planning to be Machmer, to be Mafresh, Trumas and Maisres. There were no Jewish farmers then, the end of the 1700s. One at the beginning of the 1800s, a little bit, hardly at the end of the 1800s. Days of the Vilna Gaon, there were no Jewish farmers. So he was going to be Machmer, to be Mafresh, Trumas and Maisres. And he wasn't aware that there was such a Cherem, that you're not allowed to be Machmer like the Mabit. And then on his way traveling to Eretz Yisrael, when he came to Constantinople, they had libraries there, so he came across the Tshuvas of Rabbi Tzalal Ashkenazi, who records this Cherem, so that's when he went back, because he didn't want to violate the Cherem, and he personally felt he wanted to be Mach. So that's what some suggest. They're not sure why the Vilna Gaon went back. I find that hard to believe, because the Kes Mishnah quotes the Cherem. I know the Cherem without knowing Tshuvas of Rabbi Tzalal Ashkenazi. So the Vilna Gaon did read the same Kes Mishnah that I read. Because Mishnah quotes this Cherem. So it's probably a different reason why. So they give all kinds of reasons. So some of the maskilim give. Everyone's trying to figure out what motivated the Vilna Gaon to go back to Vilna. Why didn't he go there to Yisrael? So one of the maskilim came up with the following suggestion. The Vilna Gaon realized that he was a nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. The maskilim came up. Nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So he understood that since he's a representative of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael either. I don't know what that means. I don't know how the Maskilim understood what that's supposed to mean. Whatever, I'll pick up all whatever. They're not sure exactly what happened. But, so that's the story. So again, so the Beis HaYevi was unhappy with this kula from the 69. So he said like this. The Tshuvas HaRosh writes that there never was a discussion of Yesh Kinyan and Nochri Lahafkia regarding Shlita. The whole Machlokes of Tanoim and Amram, the whole Machlokes only was Miyad Tshuvas HaMaisvus, because Tshuvas HaMaisvus begins with a mitzvah. Aser Tasas called Tvaz Arecha, a mitzvah on the owner of the field. Owner of the field is not Jewish, so there's no mitzvah HaFrosha, no Chiv HaFrosha, so there's no Yisat Tevel. But Shemitah starts off as an Issa, Sot Cholosis, a Kama Cholosis, but now I'm going to do Avodah Sakarka. So what does it help if you sell it to a non-Jew? It's still Eretz Yisrael. No one ever said when you sell it to a non-Jew, you have to keep Kedusha Saharet. Aye, but then the Gemara comes to the conclusion based on the Beferish and Mishnah that in Surya Yesh, because it's only the Rabban Yesh Kin Yanoch El Hafiya, even from Shemitah, it's Beferish Shemitah. No, Surya is different. There is no Kedusha Menatur in Surya. Because we pass can keep a shoch and lav shmei keep a shoch. All kedusha is only make believe kedusha mid the rabbanon. The kedusha rests on the ownership. Dovid HaMelech conquered the area, and there's an institution. There's a principle of kibush mulchama. The Gemara says, "Amen amay avti haru b'sichas." Whenever one nation conquers another nation, so they acquire ownership of all the lands. So Dovid HaMelech acquired ownership of the land. So mid the rabbanon, they said, since the land belongs to the Jewish people, so it should be treated as if it has kedusha sa'aretz mid the rabbanon. But once you sell it to a non-Jew, it says, it's nothing. It doesn't belong to, never had Kedusha, never had real Kedusha in the first place. It has a make-believe Kedusha Midirabbanan, because it's owned by the Jewish people. Once you sell it to a Goy, Yesh Kinyan Arach Lahafkiya doesn't have Kedusha Sa'aretz. Doesn't have Kedusha Sa'aretz, so it's even been a gear to Shemitah as well. But if you're talking about in Eretz Yisrael, in the 1600s, they're talking about Jewish farmers who live in Eretz Yisrael. We say Kedusha Shnia was Kitchalasi Lava. The only reason why Shemitah is only the Rabbana, because Shemitah depends on Yovel. But it's an Eretz Yisrael, so you can't say Yesh Kinyan LaHafkia Dinam the Rabbana. No. Yesh Kinyan LaHafkia only applies by Trumas and Maisis when it starts off as a mitzvah. But the Rosh says by Shemitah it starts off as an Issa. So what did they think? What did this Svatashi Gedolim think?
It says Sadcha. It doesn't that mean it belongs to you? Sadcha, why do we interpret sadcha meaning to the whole Jewish people?
Where does it say sadcha? Sadcha l'sizmar, kamacha l'sizmar.
So sadcha means your field. It's not your field.
Yeah, so they apparently, these gedolim from the 69, the Svadish gedolim, they apparently thought, not like the Rosh, they thought that just like Trumas and Maisus has to start with a mitzvah, and if you didn't do the mitzvah of Hafrosha, then it's Tevel. So Shemitah also starts with a mitzvah. Shna Shabbos and Tiyalorets. The owner of the field has to leave it fallow. Shna Shabbos and Tiyalorets. If the owner of the field is Jewish, then it's a din. Sot Chalasizah, Kamu Chalasizah. But if the owner of the field is not Jewish and he doesn't have the mitzvah of Shna Shabbos and Tiyalorets, he doesn't have the mitzvah sesei, so the Loi sesei doesn't follow either. Just like Trumas and Maisus has to start with a mitzvah, and if you don't do the mitzvah of Afrosha, it's going to be Tevel. So they were under the impression, they thought, that Shemitah also has to start from a mitzvah, and the Machlokes Yesh Kinyan LaHafkiyas applies even to Shemitah. If the owner of the field is not Jewish, he doesn't have the mitzvah of Shnas Abbas and Tiyah La'aretz, so the Memele, the Lavim of Sotcha L'Sizra, don't apply it. But that was a taina of the Beis HaLevi. So the Beis HaLevi said it would depend, why do you assume that Shemitah B'Zman is the Rabbah? If Shemitah B'Zman is Ezer Rabban, we said there are two reasons. If Shemitah B'Zman is Ezer Rabban, because Shemitah is linked up with Yovel, like Rabbi says in the Sifra, in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that you only have to observe Shemitah Menat Torah if it can lead up to Yovel. But then it is Kedusha Soretz Menat Torah. So how can you say Yishkin Yala Hafkia from Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael? The Kedusha Soretz is the Raisa B'Zman is Ezer. But if you say like the Rashi over here, the Butla Kedusha Sa'aretz, the Rashi HaChavavim and Aleph, that Shemitah B'Zman Ezeh, the Rabbanon, the Butla Kedusha Sa'aretz, because Kedusha Shni was Lord Kitchel Asi Lavai, so then Eretz Yisrael is like Surya, the same thing. So if a non-Jew buys it, it doesn't belong to a Jew, so the whole Kedusha Sa'aretz is gone. There's no Kedusha at all. So then it should be legitimate. Then the Het Mechira should be legitimate. So that was the time of the Beis HaLevi. So the Beis HaLevi has a few important shuvas there. So he has one shuva that he had Balabatim and Rabbanim, Balabatim, everybody was writing in the newspapers in Europe about the Het HaMechira in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the one of the writers came up, one of the bloggers, he said bloggers, then also. So one of the blogs was written by a person who had the following Einfach. He said, the fellow writes, there is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Gaonim, how do you count the years of Shemitah? So we say that last year, Tov Shinayin Hei, was a Shnas HaShemitah, no? So we say, Shnas HaShemitah, Kifi Shita Sagaonim. What's Kifi Shita Sagaonim? The Gaonim said that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, just count 7, 7, 7, 7, the Olam Vod. You don't count the 50th year as a blank year. And the Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. He quotes the Gaonim and he disagrees and he thinks that they're wrong. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Erchin that at the end of the Bayis Rishon period, when the Golus began some of the Shvatim, so it was no longer Kol Yoshveho Aleho, no longer could fulfill a Nafsha proclaimed Lili throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It didn't have Kol Yoshveho Aleho. So they didn't have to observe Yovel Min HaTorah, but they counted the Yovel year as a blank year to push off the next Shmita. You don't count 7, 7 Yom Vod, you count 50, 50, 50, 50. And the first 49 years is 7, 14, 21, 28, and so on. And the 50th year is a blank year that doesn't belong to any Shemitah cycle. 50th year is a blank year. So even at the end of the Bayis Rishon period, when they didn't have to observe Yovel Min HaTorah, but the Yovel was counted, Mono Yovelos L'Kadosh Shemitah, they counted Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. So the Rambam said, the same should be B'zman HaZeh. We shouldn't count 7, 7, 7, 7 the Yom HaVod like the Goyim said. We should count 50, 50. So every 50th year, we should have a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. So the Mela, and then that's one issue. That's one issue. So we're not sure when Shnas HaShemitah. So we said last year, Tov Shanayin Hei, was Shnas HaShemitah, Gifi Minik HaGon, Gifi Shita HaGon. According to the Rambam, it's probably not Shnas HaShemitah. Then there's another question. The Bayis Sheni was Chorev in Tisha B'Av of the year 70, middle of the summer of the year 70. That's what we assume. So the Gemara says, the Bayis Sheni was Chorev Matzoi Shvius. It was the year after Shemitah. So what does that mean? So the Poshim Shat was at that Tisha B'Av of the year 70, from September of the year, September was Tishrei, September of the year 69, till September of the year 70, was a Shnas HaShemitah, was Matzoi Shvius, was Matzoi Shemitah, and that Tisha B'Av was Matzoi Shemitah. So that's one Pshat in the Gemara. And Taisus there has a long Taisus in Erech and Daf Yud. And Taisus says, no. When they burnt down the Beis HaMikdash, what do you think? They burnt it down, Tisha B'Av, and the whole thing burnt down to the ground. It was burning and burning and burning for weeks and weeks and weeks. It started to burn Tisha B'Av, and then it kept on burning for a couple of weeks. And then when it finally burnt down, everything was gone, that was Matzoi Shvius. But from September 69 till September 70, Tisha B'Av was July, August, in the middle of that year, that was Shnas HaShemitah. That wasn't Matzoi Shvius. That was Shvius. The Bayis Sheni was Schar means the Gemara of the Churban HaBayis. When the fire went out, it was ready after Tishrei. When the fire went out, after Tisha B'Av and Elul and then Tishrei. So a month and a half later, when it was Tishrei, that was Matzoi Shvius. And that Tisha B'Av from the year, from September 69 till September 70, that Tisha B'Av occurred in the middle of July and August of that year, that was Shvius, and the next year was Matzoi Shvius. So that'll happen af kemina, which year is Shemitah Bayos. So we're not sure about two things. That Taisus has also, we're not sure when the Bayis Sheni was destroyed. Was really destroyed Tisha B'Av of the year 70 or Tisha B'Av of the year 69? That's another historical question. So there are three questions. When was the Bayis Sheni burnt down? So we have Goyisha sources for that. And the Tisha B'Av when the Bayis Sheni was burnt, was that Shnas HaShemitah? And after Tishrei was Matzoi Shvius? No, that Tisha B'Av was Matzoi Shvius. And question number three, issue number three is, do you count 7, 7, 7 the Olam Vod like the Goyim say? Or do you follow the Rambam that you count, you throw in a blank year, every 50 years you throw in a blank year? So because we're not sure, and the whole issue of Shemitah B'Zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanim for whatever reason, either because Shemitah depends on Yovel or because Batla Kedusha Sa'aretz, so we should say Sveika de Rabbana Lekula. Since we're not sure which year is Shemitah, so you don't have to observe Shemitah at all. So that's what one of the bloggers wrote in one of the newspapers. They used to have Yiddish, Hebrew newspapers in Europe, so one of them wrote like that. So the Beis HaLevi makes fun of that. So he says, you look in the Gemara in Arvi Psochim. The Gemara says you need Haseba when you eat the matzah, and you need Haseba when you drink two of the Arba Kaisers. Which two of the Arba Kaisers? That is a machloikas. So one opinion is the first two. The first two Arba Kaisers, you're telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The last two Arba Kaisers, we already went free, so you don't need Haseba. The other opinion is no. The first two Arba Kaisers, we're still telling the story. The last two Arba Kaisers, we're already free men, so then you should have Haseba. So it's a machlokes whether you need the first two or the last two. So the whole din of Haseba is only midrabbanan. It's not a din in a Torah. So if you're not sure, you ought to say Sveika derabbanan lakula. So you should say you don't have to have any Haseba at all. So the Gemara says Hilkoch. Since we're not sure whether you need Haseba on the first or Haseba on the last two, so you need on all four. So what do you need on all four? Say you shouldn't need it all. So to say you don't need it all, that's wrong. You can't be mekel tied to the sasa. Why can't you just pick arbitrarily whatever you choose? So the Ran says you can't pick arbitrarily. Whenever it's a suffix, it's a din derabbanan. You vada have to observe a din derabbanan either like this or like this, and you're not sure. How can you pick arbitrarily this over that? So you have to go l'chumra in both directions. That's called shtei kederes, in the end of Yeridea. The last simon, Achel Galaf Yeridea. Yeridea traditionally in Europe used to be printed in three volumes. So the end of the first chelik Yeridea, the simon kuf yud alef, about shtei kederes. Shtei kederes is like this. I have two pots of kosher soup, and a little treif ingredient, I threw in some flavoring into. I have two flavorings, the same. One is kosher, one is treif, and I poured the kosher into one pot, the treif into the other pot. I don't remember which pot I threw the treif flavoring into. And they both taste the same, because it's the same flavor. But one of them had a kosher ingredient, one of them had a non-kosher ingredient. And you don't have shishim, so you don't know which one is kosher, which one is treif. So if the trefer iser is an iser derabbanon, so you have to ask for both parts. You have no right to say, well, sveika derabbanon l'kul, I'll drink the soup from this part, I won't then drink soup from the other part. If the two parts, one of them is treif anyway, one is treif, one is kosher, and then you pour the treif ingredient into one or the other, you don't know which one, so then you say, tolem esak al kolab im mekul. You have a right to say tliya. You say, the iser fell into the trefer part, and the heter fell into the kosher part. That's if it's an Issa derabbanan, you have a right to be tolem. But if they're both kosher pots and soup, you have to ask of both. Why? That's a din of shtei kederes, because you can't be mata both. That's a tarte desasri. You can't say sveika derabbanan l'kula b'tarte desasri. You can't just pick arbitrarily to say, I want to drink this soup, I'm not interested in that soup. So you have to be machmer on both. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says. You better not assume that it's a real sofek. Which year was the Shnas HaShmita, and which year the Bayis Sheni was Chorev, and whether you count Yovel as a blank year, then we're going to have to answer all the three possibilities. You'll have to be machmer on everything. You can't say Sveika Rabban Makula Tata Desasri not to observe Shmita at all. Sofik Rabban Makula. The answer is it's not a Sofik. It's Betoras Vadai that the year 70 was Matzoi Shvius, and the Bayis Sheni was Chorev in the year 70. And you only count 7-7. You don't count 50th year. If you're going to consider that a suffix, that's both the cheshbon as a suffix, then you have to ask her all the 3 years. So he said, that's wrong. So that's how he starts off. He can't say sveika derabbanan l'kula. Then he says, they're different. You don't always say sveika derabbanan l'kula. Sveika derabbanan l'kula is when you're dealing with a din derabbanan, that's an invention with the rabbanan. Let's say you have a din derabbanan bizman hazeh. Shmita is only the raisa when it can lead up to Yovel. And it can't lead up to Yovel, so we follow the opinion of Rebbe in the Sifra, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that it is not, the Shmita can't lead up to the Yovel, so the Shmita doesn't have to be observed. What if you volunteer to observe the Shmita? So the Beis HaLevi thinks that you have a kiyum the raisa. It is Eretz Yisrael, it has Kedushas Haaretz, it has Kedushas Haaretz. It can't lead up to Yovel, so you're not mechuyev to observe it. But if you volunteer as an enem tzuvah v'yoseh, he thinks that'll have a kiyum deraisa. So he thinks whenever there's a kiyum deraisa on the derabbanan, then you have to say sveika derabbanan l'chumra. You don't always have a right to say sveika derabbanan l'chumra. So he says, if you hold batla kedusha sa'oretz, and it has a kedusha midirabbanan, and invented midirabbanan, like Rashi says, shmita b'zman is ederabbanan because batla kedusha sa'oretz, so there, there's no kiyum deraisa at all. So there, maybe you have a right to say sveika derabbanan l'kula. If you have a sofik and shmita, you can say sveika derabbanan l'kula. But if you don't follow that, we don't follow that sefer atruma, that Rashi. We assume shmita b'zman is ederabbanan, not because batla kedushas haaretz. It's rather because the Shemitah can lead up to the Yovel, because the Rebbe's statement in the Sifra at the beginning of the Parshas Bahar. So if it can't lead up to Yovel, therefore you're not mechuyav to observe Shemitah, but if you would observe it, it's a Kedushas Haaretz Ben HaTorah, and the Shemitah will be a Kiyum Deraisa. So he thinks in such a case he can't apply Bechlav Sveika Derabban Lekul. That's really a Chiddush, that you don't always have the right to say, not all the Rabbonim, so you have a right to say, Sveika Derabban Lekul. Some yes and some no. But the Rabbonim, that's based on a Deraisa, that there's a Kiyum Deraisa, if you would do it, he thinks in such a case you have to say, Sveika Derabban Lekul. So this is part of the famous discussion. So the Beis Halevi in his Tshuva quotes his son. By the time he wrote the Tshuvas, he was no longer a Balozhin. He was the Rav of Brisk. So he was the Rav of Shavar. As a child, used to learn with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. They both learned by the Beis Halevi. So Rav of Shavar was a very brilliant. He was a very big genius. He thought that he knew how to learn much better than Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So later on, later years, he didn't think so highly of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He used to call him, when Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the rabbi in Brisk, he used to call him the Brisker of son. His father was the Brisker. He didn't think he was worthy of being the Brisker of. He said the Beis Halevi, that was his rabbi, the Beis Halevi was the Brisker of, so Rav Chaim was the Brisker of son. Okay. So the Beis Halevi is very proud of the fact that he has a son, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, as Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. So he quotes every so often in the Tshuvas of the Beis Halevi, he quotes my son Chaim, the Rosh Yeshiva in Valozhin. So he quotes what he said about this. He said he personally thought, Beis Halevi thought, that Shemitah Bizman Azez the Rabbanan is not like the Rashi here. He thought it's like the Sifra, the Rebbe and the Sifra. That it's a Din the Rabbanan, but there should be a Kiyam Deraisa over here, because the Kedushas Haaretz is Deraisa. So since there's a Kiyam Deraisa, you should really say Sveika Deraisa Lechumer. You shouldn't have the right to be so lenient on Shemitah Bizman Azez. But then he says that his son, Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva and Valozhin and Yeshiva, pointed out that the Rambam writes that that Trumas Amaisis Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanan. The end of, I think the end of Perek Aleph Hilchos Maaseres. Rambam writes that Trumas Amaisa Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanan. And he said, what do you mean Bizman Azeh? After the Churban Abayis? No, Afilu Bizman Bayisheni. Even during the lifetime of Ezra and Nehemiah, Trumas Amaisa was only the Rabbanan. Why? Because of a lack of Bias Kulchan. Bias Kulchan. So that's problematic. Bias Kulchan. But by Yachem El Horat, Bias Kulchan, the Gemara in Ksubas and Av Chafei, the Gemara points out that concept of Bias Kulchem to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael really doesn't say by Trumas Amaisis, it really says it by Chala. So somehow the Rambam thinks that in the Gemara Beferish applies to Chala, doesn't apply to Trumas Amaisis. Somehow the Rambam has some other source. He thinks that Bias Kulchem carries over to the Trumas Amaisis as well. So, but there's no pasuk. So why? How can you apply? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained, Bias Kulchem really applies to Shemitah. But Trumas Amaisis depends on which Shnas HaShemitah are you holding by. The first 2 years of Shnas HaShemitah, you mafish Truma Gdola, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni. Third year, you mafish Maisa Rani. Then the seventh year, then the Pesach of the fourth year, and the Pesach of the seventh year, is the din of Shas Abir. And then you can't, even though the first 2 years and the fourth and the fifth years are exactly the same afroshes, it can't be mafish mishon al chavato, because the pasuk says, Aser tasis kol tva zarecha, ayotzi asad shon hashon, you have to be mafish from that year, on that year, it can't be mafish mishon al chavato. So whenever Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, so then Trumas Amaisis is going to be the Rabbanan. So true, there is no pasuk of Bias Kulchem by Trumas Amaisis, but the Rambam somehow understood that you need Bias Kulchem for Shemitah. And whenever you don't have Shemitah Deraisa, then Trumas Amaisis is also only going to be the Rabbanan. So that's what the Beis Halevi said, the way he thought that Shemitah Bizman Azeh is the Rabbanan, because it can't lead up to Yovel. That's then you're not mechayev to observe Shemitah, but if you volunteer to observe it, it'll be a key of the Raisa. So that din the Rabbanan, you should really say Sveika the Rabbanan lechumer. There's any suffix in Shemitah today to be mad. But according to my son, Rab Chaim, the Rosh Hashiva and Valojin, that it's a lack of Bias Kulchem, so means the Mekadesh, from the very outset, the Kedushas Ha'aretz is only the Rabbanan with respect to Shumas and Maisa, with respect to Shemitah V'yayvah. Because of a lack of Bias Kulchem, the Mekadesh has to be Bias Kulchem. So if there was a lack of Bias Kulchem, so the Mamish does not, not only after the Churban Abayis, but the Kedushas Ha'aretz. There's Man Bayis Sheni, there was no Bias Kulchem. So then the whole Kedushas Ha'aretz is Man Bayis Sheni. Maybe it's the Reis and Menegeh too, like a Chik Chopeya. But it's not going to be there. The Kedusha starts, won't be there. Reis and Menegeh to Trumas and Maises, because that depends on Shemitah. And Shemitah, you need Bias Kulchem. If there's lack of Bias Kulchem, there's no Kedusha Sarets there, Reis. So then maybe there would be room to declare that Eretz itself proper should be treated the same as Surya. So that's the gist of what the Beis Halevi says. Okay, so we'll stop here. Blineta tomorrow. And that tomorrow we'll have to continue with the Rashi, with the Tosfos and Chavav and all about the Het Mechira story. Het Mechira is Mar Gemar. Rashi Pshat and Mar Gemar.
I don't know what to give. I don't know what to give because depending on the blank here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what to give?
Zero.
Here it is?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're